podcast. Today we're going to talk about the Kannada movie Undu Mutteya Kathe. Undu Mutteya Kathe is a romantic comedy that released in 2017. The movie's protagonist is Raj B. Shetty, who is also its director. The other lead actors in the movie are Usha Bhandari, Amrita Naik, and Deepak Rai Panaje. Today we have on the show Pallavi, who is a very good friend, a movie connoisseur, and also a native of Mangalore, where the movie is based. Welcome to the show, Pallavi.
Thank you and hi everyone.
Pallavi, do you want to share your initial thoughts about the movie?
So I hadn't heard too much about the movie, and I didn't go into the movie with any preconceived notions from the name, but I think the name says quite a lot, because Motte is also another name for zero, right? So it's a story of a person who's sort of a zero in a sense, and it's how he sort of finds his way. So I think they have sort of, you know, played on that as well. So that was my first thought. I think it was a simple film. And also I liked it for the second reason, because it is from Mangalore, and all the language used, and even the some of the things which are very particular to Mangalore, even in terms of the words used in Kannada, which is specific to that region. It was quite detailed in that sense. So those are the two striking things which came out initially from the movie for me.
So the reason I was interested in this movie was when I came across an article about it by Bharadwaj Rangan, one of the lead editors at Film Companion. The premise of a bald man struggling to and eventually finding love in itself was very intriguing. And when I did some research on the movie, I figured out that they had actually cast a bald person to act. And that is a rarity in, I think, Indian cinema itself. We always have good-looking people doing makeup or some sort of a CG or using prosthetics to look as maybe a bad-looking person. But to actually cast someone who looks like a person to whom we might not give a second glance even in our everyday lives, I think was a very bold move. And also, once I watched the movie, I realized that they had followed this principle with the rest of the cast. Everybody looked as like they actually belonged in the milieu. Like, for example, if you take the economics lecturer, right? She looked like somebody who might be teaching economics at a college in one of our cities. She did not look like stunningly beautiful like one of the North Indian imports you might see in Telugu or Tamil cinema. In Tamil cinema or Telugu cinema, they will have like a fair-skinned North Indian actress who is playing a village girl. I mean, she will look completely out of place in that setting, but still people go and watch those films. But the choice of the director in this movie to actually cast people who look like where they belong, I think was a very bold step. That is one reason that I liked in the movie. So what are the parts that worked for you in the film, Pallavi?
So the introduction was very interesting. I think, since the movie talks about arranged marriage, I mean, the premise of the movie is about getting him married. And it starts off with the astrologer, telling the family that he needs to get married within a year and all that. So I think they touched upon certain things which most people of the age of, say, 25 to 35 go through in terms of arranged marriage. They have to meet the astrologer. They go through all the body shaming and, you know, this expectation of being this perfect person. So all that sort of resonated with me, because that's what you see around you, and also you faced it in some sense. And also, yeah, like you said, the simplicity of the, you know, appearance of the characters, none of them look like somebody whom you don't know. Like, probably you will be working with some people like this in your workplace. So that's something which sort of, you know, clicked for me. There was nobody like, you know, excessively, you know, a movie star like. So it sort of fit into the place. And I feel, I think they've used a lot of local talent. Hence, the language was great. The diction was great. It seemed like they lived in Mangalore, and you felt like these characters belong where they are.
Another thing that really worked for me in the movie was the way they had written the comedy. So you have this premise that there is a bald man who is not getting married or who is being rejected by women. It is very easy to write jokes about his baldness. But in this film, the comedy is everything other than his bald head. For example, and it is very mischievous. The movie does not want you to sympathize with the protagonist at all. For example, in the opening scene where this guy is going to look at a prospective bride, and this bride rejects him because of his baldness. He comes out and everybody in his family is very angry in the car. The mother and the father are arguing that, you know, they're going to find this beautiful girl and get her married to him. And this guy, you know, in response is even angrier. He's like, oh, I don't want to get married. You know what? Why can't I live without women? And the next moment he stares at a girl who is walking across the street. And his family also catches him in the act. So this kind of mischievous writing follows scenes after scenes in the first half of the movie. In fact, maybe 5-10 minutes later into the movie, the protagonist Janardhan catches one of his students who is calling him a bald man. I think he calls him Motte, which means an egghead. At least the subtitle shows it as egghead. What would an insult of Motte actually mean in Kannada?
Motte means egg, or like, because he has an egg-shaped head. So yeah, it's a literal translation, yes.
Yeah, the scene that follows this particular confrontation, the scene that particularly is written after this, right, I think was pure gold for me. That defined the entire movie. So Janardhan goes to the principal's office with the student with the intention of getting him punished. But principal is least interested in carrying this out. He is interested in everything else. He is interested to know whether this peon who is always on the phone is having an affair with somebody else. He's asking Janardhan, why doesn't he clean shave? Then he tells his student that, you know, Janardhan, you know, this guy is almost as old as your father. And in the end, the way they close the scene, right, that was so, I don't know, that was, it is so mean that it was funny. The principal does not have change for the fine. So he tells the student to call him Motte once more. I thought that was just like epic. I mean, in another film, you might have turned this into a sympathetic scene, but these guys decided to actually get on with this premise where they actually make fun of the protagonist and his problems arising out of his baldness. I think that was like pure gold.
I agree, because I did not expect the ending, at least, that he will ask him to pay 500 rupees extra, because that's not something anybody will do, even in a real setting or even in a comedy movie. So that's something totally out of the box they thought about. At least the rest of the things were sort of okay-ish, but that the ending part was pure gold. I agree. Yeah.
So the writing in this movie reminded me a bit of another very well-written comedy movie, the Vicky Donor in Hindi. Again, in Vicky Donor, if you see, the premise is basically on sperm donation. Okay, but none of the comedy is not actually focused on that particular sperm donation concept. The fun part is it revolves around a lot of other topics. The actual conflict in that movie, you know, arises from the difference between Punjabi culture and Bengali culture. Sperm donation is just one of the plot points that they use to take forward a lot of messages in that movie. I felt that in this movie, the writer and the director very cleverly used this baldness as some sort of a tool to take the entire, I mean, to craft the entire movie, but they don't really focus on that.
So they could have easily shown him as the victim throughout the movie, but that's not the case. Here he's both the victim and also the guy who is sort of victimizing the party. So it's like he's on both sides of the coin. So that's what was an interesting take.
I think that's a great point. For me, what I liked about this portrayal in this movie is that the writers have highlighted this hypocrisy of male characters that are typically shown in such a setting. For example, you can take a character like a plump man, or let's say a dark man, and he will expect a very beautiful girl to fall in love with him. You know, you'll have to sympathize with the hero because he's being, I don't know, ill-treated by the other members in the society. But the writers here completely expose it for what it is, right? Janardhan is bald and he's sad that women don't accept him. But the truth is that he is a hypocrite. He cannot accept a woman who is, I don't know, for what she is. He also, I think, in fact, that dialogue comes in the movie that he wants a beautiful girl to compensate for his baldness. he is also expecting some, so he also cannot accept somebody for what they are. He is expecting a damsel or somebody of that sort. I think this was a very good message that they had put forth in the movie. It comes across towards the end in a very, very melodramatic fashion. I wish they had written it in a little more hard-hitting way. But I think still the fact that they chose to make this point, I thought was very brave.
There are different standards of beauty for men and women, and in a general arranged marriage setup, the expectation of better looks sort of lies on the woman more than the men. And this compensation for his looks with a better looking wife is something which is sort of a double standard which is shown, which is a good point which has been raised, which is seen in our society till date.
So what did you think about the performances in the movie? Whose performance stood out?
So the lead actor definitely did a good job of playing this frustrated guy. I mean, he played out the character really well of this professor and also a son who's frustrated with his parents constantly badgering him about marriage, about being going through, you know, very lackluster social life, rather a love life. And I think he did a decent job. I mean, as a director, he had a vision how this character has to play. And that's what he played himself. So that was a good job done. I think some of the good supporting actors were his mother, who sort of, you know, is all this encouraging mother who, despite whatever situation, is like, okay, we can still find you a wife. Don't worry. We'll, you know, get through this. And his brother, though, was a very tiny role, was very significant because at the start of the movie, if you remember, the astrologer says that there is Shani behind you, and he looks back and his brother is standing. So this character, he feels, is sort of a negative force in his life because he's the guy who gets more women and he's jealous of that aspect. He's jealous of his younger brother. But in the end, he's sort of like, you know, he understands that he's not so bad as well. So he's sort of, they have a mutual respect in the end. So there's some, you know, these bit characters, even the economics professor. And I think one of the significant performances was the peon. I forget his name, but he did a good job. Of course, he became a little preachy, but in the end, but I think he did a good job of sort of guiding this guy through his whole life process. I think he did a decent job. I think the girl who finally he ends up with played her character pretty well, of this bubbly girl who sort of compensates for her lack of the perfect figure with her charm and sort of affection and all those things. So I think all those characters sort of stood out for me. But I think the protagonist of the film was the best in all the cast.
I agree with the part about the secondary characters being written very well, and the performance also kind of like to the point from them. My favorite character is the principal.
Yes.
But I thought he was very funny. The way he looks, you know, he's in complete disinterest of what Janardhan does. And the way he collects fines from the students, and I thought that was, he was very funny for, in a comedy movie, I think, you know, so some of these characters stick out. They can just appear for maybe 2-3 scenes, but then their performance is so good that they stick out. Which love story were you rooting for? I mean, obviously in the end, it is Sarla's character that he ends up with, and it makes a point in the movie. But I mean, the way they had built up this initial track, right, between him and the economics lecturer, it almost seemed that it was going to work until the English professor steps in.
Yeah, so I knew that there will be a kebab mein haddi and somebody will come in sort of and steal the girl. But I think they should have sort of played out that a little more. That would have sort of, you know, given a good story arc. I mean, I know that's a very cliche thing to do, but still the English professor who comes in and sort of steals the girl didn't have much of a role in the whole movie. I think they should have shown him a little more and how she gets stolen from him, but that didn't get played out. I wasn't really rooting for the economics professor because they didn't really show much happening there. The second character I knew is going to lead to something else because there was no sort of, I mean, it was too good to be true, to be honest. Like, she's just waiting for him to come into her life was sort of a little unbelievable for me. So I knew there is a catch there. But still, I wanted to see how that plays out. What is the angle here is what I was curious to know. And some of the dialogue she said, I knew were leading dialogues, but I wanted to know what is this leading to. I did not expect what happened. So that was good. Yeah, and it was like that part of the movie, you really feel for the guy when that story does not play out, because I thought, okay, this is going well, even though I know there's something wrong here, but it's going well. So I wanted it to sort of work. Of course, the part with the Sarla in the end had to sort of, it was sort of set up like, okay, they don't like each other and there was a lot of confusion and all. But yeah, I did root for them in the end. Yes. And, but the part where she's like all sacrificing and all loving and all was a little too much to handle. But yeah, it was she was convincing in the character. So I was like, okay, theek hai, it's good. Yeah. Let this happen.
So when you're talking about the track with the economics lecturer, right? I think, yeah. See, again, if you look at the writing there, they give all the leading signs as to, you know, she's falling in love with him. In fact, there is this sequence where she says all the characteristics of a guy she would like to marry and settle down in life with, and they match with Janardhan's character, and she's like, you know, I don't give importance to looks, for me character is what matters, and that's how I've been raised. And it almost comes to fruition until this hot English professor steps in and she slips immediately. And her, how do I say, it's human nature. You can't actually penalize her for that. Anybody could be attracted to someone who is good looking. So I thought the writers really pulled the rug from under our feet, right? In another movie that could have been written in another time, this track could have played out as the economics lecturer, you know, initially falling for this guy and then seeing this English professor, and then maybe she discovers that the English professor is married, and then she again realizes that what a noble guy Janardhan is, and then falls for him, and then they make up. But I thought, again, like I said initially, there was a bit of hypocrisy that they've called out. I think this is another hypocrisy in film writing, I thought, that was called out here, where they actually show that human nature is what it is, and you don't and we just have to live with it. We don't really need to expect fairy tale endings in real life. I thought that, at least in my view, that was the point of that particular track.
Yeah, I think sort of they also showed the, in a way, karma hitting the economics professor in the end, where sort of, like you said, she doesn't get the guy herself. And also she sort of gets jealous of his so-called fiancé, Sarla, whom she sees on Facebook, and she's like, she's not that good looking. So you can see the jealousy and, you know, tables turn and all those things. So in a way, that sort of, the coin sort of flipped there. So that was good.
Before
I think they ended that track.
I just have a question. Is she actually that fat? I mean, I don't know. I thought she looked a little plump, but was she actually that fat? I mean, I'm just asking. This is,
I guess, in comparison, since he's a skinny guy.
So then once we're done with this economics lecturer's track, then I think there's this Shreya Anchan, whose character is called Moha, I think, in the movie. I mean, what a name. I think it's very symbolic of what she actually does. She tempts him, she seduces him, and in the end, he realizes that it's all just a trap. That was a little surprising, because she just comes out of nowhere and, starts speaking with him. When I was watching the movie, I realized that, okay, there is something wrong here. It doesn't seem politically correct to say that, but, you know, I don't know why this girl would come out of the blue, who's supposedly very pretty, and start talking with this guy. I was waiting for something to go wrong somewhere, but then she keeps hanging out with him. And then at one point she says that, you know, you have to look good for me. And I was almost at the point of believing, oh my God, okay, maybe this will work. But I was still expecting a twist somewhere. But it seems a little far-fetched that somebody would hang out with someone so long to complete a sales proposition, or I don't know. What is your take on that?
Yeah, like you said, it's too much of an effort to just go behind one customer for this much, one sale. I think that she had to do with all her customers. That, I mean, if you logically think, it's impossible. So I think that part of the story wasn't so well written or thought through. But still, I mean, that whole built up was sort of, in a way, good, because you knew that this is bound to fail in some way. You're expecting when he does go to that school to meet her, that something is fishy over there and she's not meeting him to propose to him or whatever. And this is going to, you know, play out into something else. So I think the audience was waiting for that moment. So the director did a good job of building up that suspense, at least.
And she hangs out with so many bald men. I'm not sure how we didn't run into her. I mean, Mangalore is not a very big city also, I understand. Or is it?
Decently sized, yeah. There are a lot of bald men.
At least they show her to be hanging out with at least 10 to 15 bald men. You must have run into her at least somewhere or the other. And what I found very funny, and this is another trait that they kept carrying on throughout the movie, right? Some of the bald men are actually okay signing up for that program, despite the fact that they realize that, okay, this woman has been playing us all this while. They were perfectly happy to sign up for the bald, I don't know, hair weaving program or whatever, as long as they got...
Her sales pitch wasn't convincing at all as well, because she starts off with a price. So that was a little difficult to digest as well. She gives you like three, types of schemes or whatever. It was not at all, it wasn't thought through. That part of the film was not thought through.
Or actually, it is the other way around. For me, what I saw was these guys, despite realizing the fact that this woman has played them and the fact that she has hung out with them only to sell a hair solution, some of the guys at least are perfectly okay to take it as long as they can probably continue to spend time with her. I thought that was the joke that the director was... going for
maybe and some of the people signing up were all like almost like senior citizens and also, yeah, so you can sort of understand.
So what do you think about the entire Sarla arc? I really love the scene where she is introduced. You know, she is sitting with her boyfriend who is about to break up with her, and this boyfriend is making this point that his friends think that she's too old for him, and so he has to break up with her. And what I found very funny was that her initial reaction is that she's totally unfazed by it. She's like, you know what, this is why I've been telling you that you should eat more and put on more weight. She's very unapologetic about who she is. I really liked that part. And the way they ended the scene, you know, this guy is calling her fat to her face, and she orders cake and she has it and she decides to have it. I thought, you know, in another movie she might have pushed the cake back or something like that, but she decides to go ahead and have the cake. I thought that was very, very cheeky direction.
I think maybe I'm thinking a little deep into her family. She sort of brings up that her family life isn't great in one of the conversations which he has with him, that your family is awesome, but my family is sort of, you should meet my family. So I think there's an arc there where she's constantly faced criticism all her life. She's sort of being harassed by her family to get married, and so she has younger sisters and there's a lot of pressure around her. So she's learned to cope with this and she doesn't keep negativity around her too much. So I think she's learned to be this positive person, so she doesn't see herself as fat. I mean, people sort of think they're fat if their surroundings, everybody's telling them they're fat and they still don't think they're fat, or they still don't think that they are bad in any way. So I think they still stay positive, right? So I think she's that character who knows she's overweight, but it doesn't bother her. But when this guy brings it up in a conversation, she sort of says that, oh, it's obvious, obviously you should put on weight. There's nothing wrong with me. So she's that confident as a person, and I think she's sort of accepted herself despite her situation.
That's a great point, actually, that she is completely comfortable with who she is. It's the others around her who have a problem. Yeah, excellent observation.
Correct.
So the part where they meet and then Janardhan's parents get confused. So he has earlier spoken about getting serious with Mohan and wanting to marry her. But they don't know her or they don't meet her, and they just assume that the Sarla character is the person who he is talking about. that was, I thought, not very tightly written, because I was a little confused initially as to why these people are suddenly so accepting of this girl. It took me a little while to understand that, oh, okay, so they have confused her with this earlier character. I thought that was I thought it was not very tight there. But otherwise, the for some reason, I found that the sequences after meeting Sarala were not as entertaining as the ones that were until Janardhan is spending time with Moha. Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be funny. The only sequences I found funny in this particular arc was when this guy actually breaks down in front of the astrologer, right? The astrologer is very strict about not wanting to lie. And this guy is like, okay, the ultimate thing that I have to do now is break down and cry in front of this guy. And it actually works. That was a sequence I found very funny. But other than the fact, I don't know why exactly he finds her unbearable. Yes, he's okay, maybe a little on the clingy side. And she's sort of this, she does these cute things that she thinks is cute. But she's not entirely unbearable. I don't actually understand why this fellow gets so exasperated with her. Or is the fact that she's overweight the only thing that is bothering him? I mean, I could not get a clear reading on that. What was your understanding?
When they meet, the first thing she calls him is, she doesn't see his face, and from behind he looks bald. So she's like, I see a bald man, I can't see you. So he says that that's me. So I think they start off on a wrong note. Hence, he's sort of annoyed with her already. I guess her appearance is a huge factor in why he dislikes her. Because she's sort of this extra bubbly character, and he's sort of on the sort of a little more on the quiet side and doesn't know how to interact and all. She's a little overbearing to him. So I guess they are sort of opposites in that sense. And also, I think she also initially does not like him, because she is also, expecting a better looking guy. So that, so she also does not make an effort to sort of attract him or be nice to him. Because if you see the lines, which it's a monologue within their head that he's thinking of her as this fat girl and she's calling him. So they use these particular Mangalore, bad words, which not bad words, sort of to insult each other. They use the word buddy and they use the word mote is already known. But buddy is like the particular term for fat. Okay, fat girl. So they use those terminologies already, that in their head they don't like each other. Especially the appearance is what bothers both of them, and I think her demeanor bothers him even more, so he dislikes her even more. She's not what he's expecting. So yeah, because she has that Deepika Padukone photo on her Facebook profile, and when she comes up in real life, she's totally different. I think his expectations are a little dashed over there.
I'm not sure how many people caught this, but in the scenes preceding their actual meeting, they are chatting on Facebook. And neither of them have their actual profile picture. I think he has a picture of Rajkumar as his Facebook profile pic, and she has the photo of some actress or somebody else.
Deepika Padukone.
Neither of them know each
other.
And there are two things that are here, right? One is that I think that's obviously used as a plot point so that they don't recognize each other and they get off to a bad start. But this is also a very subtle way of showing that neither of them want to show are that comfortable with who they are to show their own photo in the digital world. While she is shown as somebody who's comfortable in her own self, she's not that comfortable that she's shown it in that digital space also. And he obviously, he has his laundry list of insecurity issues. So I just wanted to make that particular point. But going on there, she falls in love with him based on a misunderstanding. But then she goes full blown with it because he's a guy who's accepted her for what she is apparently. The following sequences, I found it to be a little, it was too cutesy for me, and I could not understand why this guy was getting so annoyed. Merely because if she was overweight, or was it kind of exacerbated by the fact that the economics lecturer chooses to make a snide comment saying that, you know, yeah, I've seen your fiance on Facebook. She looks a little bit fat, etc. and all that. And the reason he breaks up with her was also very, I don't know, very flimsy. And the reason he realizes, and the way they kind of got around, I thought that, how do I say, the understanding between the Pune Srinivas and his wife was really nice. The fact that she cannot speak and yet he is with her on the phone. But I thought that bringing that entire melodrama to make Janardhan understand, you know, looks is not everything, was a little far-fetched. I mean, it didn't really gel with the rest of the writing and the tone in the movie, which is my only problem. Otherwise, it's still not a bad way to resolve an issue in the movie. But I just didn't feel that the way they resolved that did not fit did not really fit the tone of the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I agree. The last parts of the film post him meeting Sarla weren't really well written. Especially, like you said, how she sort of falls for him just because he sort of likes her for her inner beauty, as they say. And nobody's ever called her pretty and all those things. It's not good enough reason to get, you know, fall for somebody to that extent. And how he sort of gets this epiphany once he sees the peon and his wife, and how they have a communication and a love, mutual love for each other, despite their, you know, not being an ideal couple or whatever they say. And I mean, those things are pretty obvious things. Like, you know, you expect that is going to sort of open his eyes. You don't expect that. Some of these scenes, like you said, were unexpected. So you expect the director to take that route again, even in the ending, where, you know, unexpected scenes sort of make him realize that she's the right girl for him. So the obvious scenes were not really sort of fitting into the story.
I wanted a hard-hitting end to this movie, right? I wanted an ending that actually where somebody would call out his hypocrisy and not make him realize, like, you know, in a very sweet manner that, you know, this is what love is. I wanted somebody to actually say the words that you cannot accept somebody for who they are, then why are you expecting others to do that for you? I actually thought the peon would say that, but, you know, it ended up in a very melodramatic manner. So, but anyway, I guess, and I really liked, but once that was done, I really like how she finished, how Sarla kind of accepts him in the climax. She says that, you know what, I'm going to get engaged to another person. But then her mother calls, and the way she disses her mother was really funny. She's like, if you like this guy so much, why don't you go get married to him? And she hangs up on her mother, and then she just tells him in one sentence, you know what, you will have to come home and talk. I thought that was where the film kind of came back into character. And I really liked that part, but in between with parts that didn't work for me. So now we're done with that part. So I'm a little bit of an outsider to Kannada cinema. I'm not sure of you. So how well were the Rajkumar references used? I had to depend on the subtitles to get the context. But what was your take on that?
Yeah, I think his songs are anyway his signature. He is an actor, singer. So some of his, you know, really popular songs were sort of used in the right way. For example, there's the scene where the broker comes in and talks about how he has two faults, right? He's bald and also he's a Kannada language professor, which are not in demand, actually. So that's when they show this song of Rajkumar where he's like, you have to be brave and you sort of, it sort of fits into the situation. They've used his songs, like it said at the start of the movie, as a character in the film. Like, he sort of is a guiding light to him throughout the film. Through the songs, he sort of guides the protagonist in his, situations, even including that whole situation where he sort of gets into celibacy and tries to meditate, and Rajkumar's song is used that we are all flesh and bones and all those things. So that was a good sort of saying that we are just humans and you should get ahead of all our desires and temptations, as they say. So I think some of the songs are used in the right situation, of course, for comic relief, but it was used in the right sense. Yeah, but I think the best usage of, I mean, in terms of Kannada and in terms of language references, I think the Kannada diction, I mean, the dialect of Mangalore, the words used were very accurate. It felt that all these characters are born and brought up in Mangalore or Dakshina Kannada, because all the words, the way they talk, the slang and all those things were on point. So that is something the director himself, being from that region, I think he's managed to sort of get that into the movie. Because including some of the references, like where she sort of prays for him to get his marks card, and she sort of prays to all the gods in that region, all the temples in Mangalore. You can think of all, you know, Mangaloreans go to so many temples, and all those temples were listed in that scene. That is very interesting. I mean, somebody from that region would obviously more find it more relatable, but it's very true to what people would do over there. So that's something I think the director has done a good job at, sort of incorporating the regional flavor.
Yeah, yeah. That's what, like I said in the beginning of the discussion, that it is a very rooted film. It does not try to do anything outlandish. You see somebody, I mean, the choice the choice to have a character who is a Kannada lecturer in these times, I thought was very brave. And in fact, I actually liked simplicity of that setting, right? It's a college and life was very simple for him. Now, I'm not sure in how many movies we see that today. There's so much to notice and take in movies. There are sometimes details, or so many things are thrown at you. There's so much jazz, or, you know, there is somebody who is in very complicated professions. They're like an analyst, or they do this and that. But it was a very refreshing change to have a very simple and uncomplicated setting. And I thought that was very relieving for me, at least as a viewer.
I agree. I mean, some of these scenes, such as some of the interactions between the peon and him, where he sort of gets him to the cafeteria to ask about the peon's love life and how his love story played out. That was an interesting scene where he sort of buys him food, but he's still stingy about how much tea he's offering him. So simple things like that, where, you know, people do that, like, they want something out of you, but still they try to save up, you know, buck or two over there. And even there's an interesting scene where he sort of, the peon is helping him write a love letter, and he writes it like a proper Kannada literature textbook, while the peon, who's sort of less educated than him, sort of gives him gyan how to write a love letter.
So the peon gets more and more irritated as this fellow reads the letter, right? Initially, he's a little shocked at seeing the pure Kannada being written in that love letter. But as the letter goes on and on, his irritation becomes very apparent. Especially when this guy keeps correcting him in between, saying, you know what, that's not how you say that. And at the end of that letter, he says, should I address her as, I think he calls her as Nivu or Ni. Okay, can you?
Yeah, so basically he writes Ninu in the letter. Ninu is for somebody your age or younger. So it's, and the respectful word is Nivu. So he's like, should I change it to Nivu? Will she
that
mind
part
that?
Hilarious, right? So, that's something very peculiar to Indian language, where you have one word that is for an informal purpose, maybe for your peers or for people younger to you. And there is another word for people who are older and where you have to pay respect. So I think the difference is Ninu and Nivu. Especially towards the end of the letter, he says, you know what, should I replace this Ninu with Nivu? I completely lost it.
Even me. And also the second part, where sort of the peon dictates his part of his version of the letter, and he starts with dear. And you don't expect the peon to start with dear. You'll expect the professor to probably use terminology like that, but the peon starts with dear, and this guy gets scandalized by that.
I think he makes this comment that, you know what, while you give this letter, why don't you gift her a Kannada dictionary also? So Pallavi, do you want to share any closing thoughts about this film?
It brings out some valid commentary about some hard-hitting issues about, I mean, I wouldn't say body shaming, but how society sort of views, people's value or worth, in terms of especially people who are in the so-called marriageable age in India, what factor sort of determines your market value? And appearance in general, obviously, across the world is an important thing for most people. Like in societies, people, good-looking people obviously get a slight advantage. But how it can handicap you in a sense is what is talked about in this movie. And how it can also be a redeeming factor for you. Like how the girl sort of, you know, in Sarla in the end doesn't really care how she appears. Despite getting rejected for her looks multiple times, it doesn't bother her. So I think it's more like how you deal with your, I mean, it's not like how society views you, how you look at yourself is an important theme. Second thing is how families also sort of respond to your, you know, shortcomings, you know. That is also an important factor. Like parents can be very sort of coarse and, you know, sort of harsh to you, like how Sarla's family is, while his family is very encouraging despite his antics. So how, you know, families, how parents also deal with, children in the situation. Some important things have been spoken about, which are very relatable for the youth today, I feel.
So folks, that's a wrap from us. If you like this podcast, share it with your friends, and for regular updates, subscribe to the Marbudium channel on anchor.fm.